Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well, and we're very fortunate today because we have a special guest. We won't have to work so hard. He's going to have all the answer. And it's a friend of the Institute and a friend of Liberty, and it is our good friend, Gary Haven. And Gary has been hanging around libertarianism for a long time, and but he made himself well known in the business community. He had this little old company called Curves, and he's been recognized rightfully so as a good businessman and entrepreneur. But the secret is his wife helped him a whole lot. See, he's admitting it too. So he was smart enough to do that, right? No, but since that time, he's been involved in philanthropic efforts, missionary work in the Caribbean and different places. And he's worked with my son, Rand, on going out. And Rand did not want to give up his ophthalmology, and he used his skills. And you were with him, you know, on some of those trips. And I think, Gary, you've set a very good example on what people can do after they get to retire. Retirement would be pretty boring, you know, for you. But anyway, Gary, welcome to our program today.
Thank you, Dr. Paul. I appreciate that kind invitation. You know, I do want to tell you, when Rand and I went to Haiti, we were able to take several hundred blind, elderly Haitians, desperately poor, who had suffered from cataracts and were blind. And so your son, with his skill set, and me with my resources, were able to bring these people in and restore the sight of 300 people, many of whom hadn't seen anything in 20 years. It was one of the most remarkable experiences I've had in philanthropy, and I was privileged to be able to share that time with your son.
Very good. Well, we have lots of things going on, and you're well known for a lot of issues, but we will be talking about the issue of freedom, because as many problems as we have, whether it's a foreign policy or whether it's economic problems or COVID, I seem to try to simplify things. You know, if we had more liberty, we'd be a lot better off and not dependency on the government. So this is a pressing thing. A lot has happened here in this last year plus, you know, with COVID, on top of the distortions in the economy with the Federal Reserve, and also the extravagance. You know, the Republicans and Democrats seem to get together and they endorse a lot of things, same things. You know, as much as they fight, I'm always amazed at why they don't fight over the budget. They don't really cut anything ever. You elected a new party and they do the same thing over again. You elect them to bring the troops home, but they really don't bring the troops home. So it goes on and on. But there's a lot of turmoil going on now, and it's social, I believe, and cultural. Mm-hmm. But this is a big issue. So why don't you open up our little conversation here by telling our viewers what you think about what's happening in the economy in general. We'll get into specifics, but just economically, you know. And one thing, if you could touch on that, I get the question, and I don't have a real good answer, is because I, you know, do meet people that believe in frugality, living with the budget, saving their money, and putting it in the bank, put the money in the bank, earn a little interest, send the kids to school. Mm-hmm. Which is bad advice now, you know, in the sense that they don't even make 1%. So you might throw that in and tell me what you tell individuals like that, how they can preserve wealth is really the answer, the question.
And, you know, I've been blessed to have a lot of it to preserve. And I think being aware and being able to see things. You know, Daniel and I were talking about what a good title today would be. And I suggested finding truth in a time of deception. And the lies are coming at us so rapidly from mass media, mainstream media. In fact, you really have to take a position now that if you read it in the New York Times or you see it on one of the networks, it's probably not true. And if you operate from that position, you're going to be in a lot better shape than if you just take it as blind faith. You know, I thought of a new oxymoron in the times we're in right now. You know, we have the old ones. I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. Jumbo shrimp. Well, we now have election integrity. and that was that's probably an interesting place to start without me going into too close to the edge. But, you know, we just saw in front of our very eyes the most blatant theft of our country in my memory, probably forever. And then they did it in a way that humiliated us, it rubbed us in our face. And then if you talked about it, you got censored. And what kind of crazy world is this? A country where we claim to have freedom of speech until you decide to exercise it against the standard propaganda. And so when it comes to the economy, it's also a fascinating set of deceit that's going on. I'll give you an example. We just printed $10 trillion this last year. And they say that's 78% of all the money that's been printed in the history of the country in one year. But we say the economy's great. Okay, stock market's booming. Well, guess what? That's where the money's going. But the stock market average price to earnings ratio right now is 40, the highest in history. And what that means is that if you buy a stock, it would take 40 years of your share of the profit to get your money back. Now, I don't know about you, but that didn't sound like a place that I want to put my money. And yet, people are pouring into it, even though the fundamentals are ridiculous. And then, of course, there's the rate of inflation. Okay, that's about 2%, right? Well, they changed the way they count inflation a number of years ago. They don't count food and they don't count fuel. Okay, well, if you don't eat and drive, that inflation rate, maybe it works for you. Again, this is deceit. And I believe certainly for an agenda. Yeah. Let me tell you a big one that's coming up.
All right.
Do you know how many people have had their rent and mortgage abated over the last 12 months, ordered by the CDC? Okay. The CDC can tell a private property owner that he's got to let somebody live there for free until they say that they have to pay. First of all, that's in a free country. Where are our private property rights now? But here's the bomb that's going to explode here pretty quickly. On March 31st, all of that back rent and mortgage payments were supposed to be caught up and paid by 30 million households in America. We're talking big numbers here. And of course, Biden decided that he would extend it. I think it's to June 30th now, but there's this ticking time bomb of 30 million people who are not going to be able to pay this massive amount of back rent. Are they going to be thrown out into the street? Or the mortgage holders or the landlords going to go bankrupt? Nobody's talking about this.
And we know what will happen. Pour more printed money until it explodes. Daniel, your turn.
Well, when we were talking before the show, Gary, you said something that really struck me. And you talked about the speed, and you mentioned that in your opening comments, the speed at which things seem to be happening. And you said we have a normalcy bias.
Yeah.
And that's a term I had never heard before, but it's fascinating. And I wouldn't mind if you would elaborate on that, because it's an interesting concept.
Yeah, we have a mind that is designed to survive. And when we see evidence that is threatening, we have this thing called normalcy bias, or cognitive dissonance is really a broader term, where we will actually deny the evidence in front of us because it's too threatening. And the more threatening it is, the more creative we get in our denial of the evidence. You know, like right now, did we really lose our country with this presidential election? Well, they're counting the votes. is there going to be a political solution to this? Nah. And I tell you, the people that were quietest were the Republicans in prominent positions that didn't shout from the rooftops that this thing has been stolen. We don't have a country anymore.
Right.
But most Americans are just quietly, you know, going on with their lives because they have the ability to deny evidence due to this thing called normalcy bias. We also have something called confirmation bias. Okay, we want to be seen as agreeing with other people.
Yeah.
And if we get too far out of that that line up with other people's positions, you know, we become this outcast.
Yeah. Put on your mask.
You know, yesterday I was working cattle on my ranch, and there's a phrase about staying in the middle of the herd. Those cows all kind of want to bunch together, although there is usually an outlier that that disrupts the program. But people want to stay in the center of the herd.
Yeah.
And that's a shame, because truth is the only thing that's going to set us free. A pastor friend of mine told me the other day, he says, you know, that's true, but if you don't know the truth, mm-hmm. how's it going to set you free?
That's right. Who sets it?
Yeah.
Who
yeah.
sets the truth?
So and we live in this time of deception. We're finding the truth because of some of our own biases that we operate at. So it's really tough to get people out of their
right.
comfort zone to look at evidence.
Right. Did you have a follow-up?
No, go
okay. I want to get on a little bit on COVID. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been going on for a year and a half. You've been talking about it. We've been talking about it. And we've been trying to warn people. And sometimes when you warn people of the truth, you get into trouble, you know, because they don't want to hear it.
That's right.
But there was an article today that caught my attention, because nobody should be surprised, but everybody is shocked. Mm-hmm. And that says that there's a new COVID problem right now, that there's too much vaccine. How long has it been since there was a shortage? And you know, when there wasn't any, the lines were long. And all of a sudden, here we manufacture, subsidized by the government. A lot of companies make it. They don't do full testing. They put it out there, and the lines are long, and people can't wait to get it. Then all of a sudden, there are second thoughts. Even the Marines aren't tough enough to take it. You know, I'm not going to have anything to do with it. So now they're trying. What are we going to do with this? But they don't have to care, because they've already been paid for it.
Yeah.
But I think also there's more and more complications now showing up. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe 5 months or 6 months or next year, we may hear a lot more, or more people will tell, you know, reveal what has happened. But no sweat on finances. The people who gave them all this money to make these vaccines, they're going to say, oh, okay, if you have a case, here, we'll send you a check already. There's been the check sent out forever, like you've already mentioned, $10 trillion of checks going out. And there's no answer except for the conclusion. And I would suspect that you anticipate there will be some conclusion to this, and mm-hmm. some adjustment, major adjustment might be necessary.
Oh, you know, they also, of course, are exempt from any liability.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot that one.
Which is, you know, there's a big clue. You know, anytime you see voices like ours that are censored, I know you've had some platform issues. Mm. As a matter of fact, it was funny. I was worried I was going to get too close to the edge. I'm having to hold you back right now. I don't want to get deplatformed to this thing, so I'm going to be really careful what I'm going to say. Let me approach it from this perspective, because you know, I'm a nutritionist. I've got two New York Times bestsellers, and I've been thinking about wellness for a long time. There, when you really look at the victims of COVID, there's some things they have in common. Number one is, as I mentioned to you before the interview today, 96% of people that are in ICU for COVID are vitamin D3 deficient. Certainly the elderly and the senior citizens are vitamin D3 deficient, because they don't have access to sunlight. My position is we need to approach COVID as more of an immune deficiency illness.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's 42 studies now on the effectiveness of vitamin D3 at sufficient levels, giving your immune system what it needs to protect you from the coronavirus. And and you know, people should supplement with vitamin D3, particularly in the winter, because they're not going to get enough sunshine. And by the way, people that are darker, who are suffering a higher death rate from COVID, they have a higher level of vitamin D3 deficiency.
Yeah,
and that really explains it better than anything. So if people would start supplementing with vitamin D3, and you know, 5,000 IUs a day, is safe, and it's going to be effective. And then zinc and melatonin and magnesium or other things we're deficient in. These are all immune supporting nutrients. You know, Hippocrates said that food is medicine and medicine is food. And, you know, looking at just the research, if medical doctors across the land would start telling all of their patients, if Dr. Fauci, your good buddy, would say, take vitamin D3, according to 42 studies that have been compiled, we'd have an 80% reduction in COVID symptoms. Now, in my opinion, that's a lot better approach than taking an experimental vaccine, which, by the way, they skipped the animal experiments. Now, people are going to push back on that because they actually started the animal experiments the day they began the human distribution of the virus.
Wow.
That's the little misinformation that you'll read in the press. And so this idea that we would take an experimental vaccine for an illness that has a 99.7% survival rate that could be dramatically increased with vitamin D3 and also you know, these other supplements I was talking about. And a new study came out just a few days ago. We talked about people that are physically active.
Yeah, New York Times had an article about that. Yeah.
So it's the number two reason that people would be subjected to COVID. Age is the first one.
Yeah.
But if the gold standard of activity was 150 minutes a week of being active, you know, that's a 30-minute walk 5 days a week. That alone reduced your chances of getting symptomatic with COVID by 80%. So if we're getting our rest, we're getting our fluid, if we're exercising moderately, and we're supplementing so that our immune system can do its job, that 99.7, what does it go down to? It must be minuscule.
Yeah. Right.
So you know, what's going to happen when people who get this vaccine are exposed to the live virus? Any live virus, any coronavirus, any flu virus, come the fall. We don't know because we skipped animal testing. And for me, now I'm going to get on the edge. You know, we're going from the great steal of the election to maybe the great kill.
Right. Daniel.
It was something that we talked about before the show, and this is why corporations seem to do things that have a negative effect on their bottom line. And related to what we're just talking about, that makes me think about the vaccine passport, because now Biden did announce we're not seeking a federal vaccine passport. We're not going to go there. However, private companies, of course, have the right to do that. Now, you were a very successful businessman. Why would corporations adopt this kind of vaccine passport? You can't come in here. You can't fly in our jet. You can't take a vacation here. You can't go to the opera unless you can show your card. It doesn't seem to make business sense to me at all.
And let's add a couple of things to that. The election law in Georgia that would add some, you know, require people to show an ID.
That's
very reasonable. And, you know, there's a variety of things right now where these major corporations, at the risk of losing market share, of offending their conservative customers, why would they do that? Because, you know, a CEO, and I've been a CEO, our job is to increase shareholder value.
Yeah.
It's not to be politically correct. And so there's a conundrum. Why are they doing that? You know, I've believed that the people that control large blocks of stock, like we were talking about
Vanguard,
thank you. Vanguard and other large companies like that, they have oversized influence of their boards on Coca-Cola and Pepsi. And by the way, they own Coca-Cola, large blocks of it, and Pepsi. Mm-hmm. They don't even see them as competitors. And they have tremendous influence on the board. So it doesn't take a lot of people to have a bias to further this political correctness and the cancel culture and things like that. But there's an article that I referred to this morning in
Epoch Times.
Epoch Times, that you can refer to, that has another position on it as well, and it's about money. There's so much money that's being made available to people that that are willing to comply, and so these people of influence, the media, the chairman of the board, Major League Baseball, NBA, all of them. They're motivated by access to this cheap, massive money, but they only get it if they comply with the bank's requirements of being politically correct, of being climate correct, on all of this. And it's a really good article that kind of broadened my perspective on this. But you know, again, when things don't make sense, there's probably an explanation there, but you got to work at it to find it.
Yeah.
Very good. So on this economic system, it seems like there's an end point to this. You know, we see an end point coming with COVID. We've had a year or so of this. But there has to be a limit. And what you point out is so clear. We've never been here before. So have you tried to analyze or project and say, you know, what's this going to be like? People want to know, and I tell them, I don't know. You know, we know as Austrian economists that certain things will happen, there'll be certain trends, and there will be a conclusion. But because there's such a thing called human action, you don't know what they're doing. I think you already alluded to that. Not everybody does the same thing when they get the money. Yeah. You know, you pass out all this money. And the other day, somebody was complaining, well, we sent this guy a check, and he put it into a crypto speculation. He made a ton of money. You know, they didn't know that people might do that. Yeah. So, but we have to think about it, because even though we haven't gone through a really, really bad one, other countries have, and the people are starting to be fearful, and I think that's the big issue. This is legitimate fear, and yet, if you hear the story of us trying to caution people, then we're committing a crime, you know, by telling the truth. The government doesn't want to hear the truth, and they'll hold you down for that. So this, to me, is one of the most important questions that people ask, and there's no easy answer, but that doesn't mean we can't sort of have preparation. I know you're well prepared, and you have your cattle farm, and you don't have to worry too much, but I know you care a lot. You go off to these islands and help people get their eyesight back. So we have this humanitarian instinct to help people, but it's really not very easy. I like to simplify it. Maybe you'll accept my simplification, that most things can be solved is give us more liberty and less government, and most of our problems would be minimized.
You thank God that you've been declaring that for a good amount of my life, and we're all the listeners and I are all really grateful for you. So yes, I do have some thoughts on this. To quote Yogi Berra, it's really difficult to predict things, especially about the future. But I thought about this a lot, and you know, in my own wealth preservation, it's important that I'm responsible, because I not only provide for my family but for the community, and we have an orphanage in India, and you know, my wife sends 1 million pounds of food to Haiti. We feed 10,000 children today, so we have a lot of responsibility to make good decisions and informed decisions. So, I think that the spending is by design. I believe that this is a globalist issue, and again, it's about perspective, it's about worldview, and it's about paradigm. You know, if you're looking at evidence through a microscope that has been adjusted to a worldview of right versus left, or Republican versus Democrat, or even the great game, you know, the Russians and the Chinese and us were all vying for power, that, in my opinion, is an inadequate worldview. The proper adjustment on the microscope to look at evidence on the way things work today is that there is a, well, first of all, there's a cosmic battle of good versus evil. And there's a globalist cabal, you know, they call it the Great Reset.
Yeah.
And when you hear the term build back better or reimagine, you know, I want to pull my hair out when I hear that nonsense. But you're hearing it all the time, okay? You know, Soros and Kissinger both said that the only thing standing in the way of a new world order is a strong America. And if you look at Soros in particular, he has dedicated his life to making America weak.
Yeah.
I mean, the evidence is there, but if you're not looking at that microscope from the proper worldview, it's hard to get these things. And by the way, the powers that be use right versus left as a distraction for us. You know, while we spend all this time chattering about Republicans and Democrats, we're missing a point.
Yeah.
And it's simply a strategy to continue to control us and to have power. So to answer your economic question, they're going to bankrupt the system. Do you know that in the last 6 months, the U.S. dollar has lost 10% of its value against the world currencies? So it's happening right now. But it's not an accident, and it's not because the Democrats are frivolous spenders, although the Republicans are just as bad, right? There's a man behind the curtain, or group of men behind the curtain, that need us to diminish so that we will be willing to give up our sovereignty. And it's going to be out of desperation that we're willing to give our sovereignty. It's like the vaccine right now and the vaccine passport. You know, people are going to be willing to take it because they're afraid. Yeah. And by the way, when you start feeling, you stop thinking. And fear is a powerful feeling. And so they shut us down from really using our brains and looking at the evidence and making informed decisions about taking a vaccine or, you know, or where we put our money, or whether or not we're going to take a vaccine or a passport to get on a plane to travel. So all of this, I believe, is by design. The globalists, you actually mentioned something I didn't cover. Someone once told me that in bankruptcy, things happen slowly. And then all of a sudden, they happen fast. Okay? That's what's happened to us in the last year. You know, we had this COVID thing, and where did it come from, and what are there therapeutics, and there was so much misinformation, deliberate. At first, there's a reason for confusion, but not once you begin to sort things out. You know, there were therapies that readily were available. All kinds of countries are using them. And then this wellness approach where you can make sure your immune system is, but you're not hearing about that. So there's so much misinformation. And then we have the Great Steal and all of that in our face. All of a sudden, things are fast. And because of normalcy bias, we think they're going to continue to go slow. Right. So we're getting literally run over by the globalists and where they intend to take us.
We're going to be closing down, but Daniel, do you have another question?
No, I wish we had more time because there are so many more topics. We got to get Gary down here again soon.
We'll do that. So I think we will go ahead and close out, but this has been great. I know you took a long trip from Waco to get over here, but you made it, and you made it on time, proving that you don't work for the government. So, but no, we're delighted that you're here, and it is true. You've been on before. We're going to get you on again, but we're toying with the idea as we've been sitting here that maybe even a conference on health matters would be a little bit different. But the health matter is a political and it's an economic issue, and how do you take care of some? But it's also, and you touched on the vitamin D very clearly, and the zinc is important, and I think a lot could be learned, so we might consider that. And I think if we do have a conference like that, we'll probably get you back again.
I'd enjoy that.
Thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. And I want to thank our visitors today and our viewers for tuning in to this program. And please come back soon. Please come back to the Liberty Report next week.